gentlemen, welcome to KDVS Wednesday at 5 o'clock. This is Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour, one of 10 public affairs programs that you can hear Monday through Friday on KDVS, your community radio station. Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour, for the last 8 3/4 years, has featured interviews with poets, pundits, professional creative types, and sometimes actors and dancers. Such will be the case this afternoon. In the second half hour, we're going to hear from members of the cast as well as one or more of the directors of a new production of Macbeth that can be seen at the Social Sciences Building here on the UC Davis campus coming up in a couple weeks. I believe that Gia Battista, the great actress and now director, will be here. We'll be returning to this radio show to talk about Macbeth. Also, we will hear this afternoon from Emily Hughes. She is a California-based poet who is in the Graduate Creative Writing Program at the University of California, Davis. And we'll also hear about an event coming up sponsored by the Telemark Dance Company. So that and this delightful jazz that you hear in the background, all of it will be a part of this week's edition of everybody's favorite poetry and technology program. Stick around for Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour. Now, ladies and gentlemen, a word from our sponsor.
This hour of programming is brought to you courtesy of the Yolo County Federal Credit Union. The Yolo County Federal Credit Union is a nonprofit financial cooperative with locations throughout Yolo County. The Yolo County Federal Credit Union offers a wide range of financial services and can be reached by phone at 530-668-2700 or online at yolofcu.org.
I'm Chelsea Haas.
Welcome back, everyone, to Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour on KDVS 90.3 FM. Davis. Remember to stick around for the second half of the show when we will have actors here in the studio representing an upcoming production of Macbeth. But first, Emily Hughes. Emily Hughes grew up in Agua Caliente, California, a small town north of Sonoma. She now lives in Davis and is a second-year poet in the UC Davis Creative Writing Program. This quarter, Emily is teaching English 5P, Introduction to Creative Writing, Poetry, and she'll also be teaching the class in spring quarter. She loves sharing her passion for writing with her students and also enjoys swimming in Lake Berryessa, backpacking in the Eastern Sierra, and baking pies, breads, and cookies. I'm very pleased to have Emily Hughes here. Emily, welcome to Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely.
It's really great to be here.
Well, it's wonderful to have you here as a guest on this show. We've talked for a couple years now about how you should come on and read some of your poetry. And I know that you were an undergraduate here at UC Davis. So obviously you encountered something that you like to stick around for, to work with some of our talented poets as a graduate student. What was it that really appealed to you about the creative writing program in poetry here at UC Davis?
Well, the atmosphere here is very supportive, and there's a great rapport with the faculty members and the students, and the level of interaction is really uncommon that I noticed with other departments that mm-hmm. I've been in. And it's just a great social atmosphere and laid back and down to earth. And at the same time, we have some really great poets and fiction writers here in the program. And I just really felt some great vibes from everyone here.
That's great.
So
now, when you describe that, probably some people at home are thinking, sure, the vibe is great and it's supportive, but do you get any work done? So tell me about your productivity as a poet, and if that's changed from your first year as a new graduate student to this, your second year, when you're considered a veteran.
Yes, it has changed, and in the program we're required to take 3 lit courses, mm-hmm. and I did those last year, and so this year I'm really able to focus on my writing. And some people decide to go on to a PhD program, and I've decided to focus primarily on my writing. And some advice I got from one of my friends who graduated a couple of years ago was to not take a break in the summer, to actually write and go on through in the summer. And I really focused on writing in the summer. As you know, I was in Berkeley this summer, and for the most part, and just really focused on my writing and really had a great time doing it. And it was just a great experience.
Great. Good for you. Now, when you think about not taking a break during the summer, focusing on productivity, what does that mean? What's a good day of writing for you as a poet? What's a good week of writing? And what are your goals as a writer in terms of how much you're going to get written and the quality of what you've written during your 2 years in the creative writing program?
Well, I think in terms of writing, I try to write something every day, not necessarily a full poem. But I just try to get something down, and you can always cut and you can always revise. I'm a big believer in free writing and just getting something down. A week ago, we were at Tamales Bay and we worked with Dana Levin,
mm-hmm.
and she gave that advice too, you know, just write, just see what happens. And I tell my students that too, to free write. And right now I'm working on my thesis, which will hopefully be towards a first draft of a first book. So
that's great. So for folks at home who don't know, what exactly is a creative writing thesis in poetry? How many pages is that? And do you try to make that a unified whole when you're thinking about it as a book?
The poems should interact with each other in a unified way. It doesn't have to necessarily be about a certain theme. Usually you have a first book is usually about 40 or 50 poems, and that's sort of what I'm aiming for. And then along with that, you'll have an aesthetic statement talking about your beliefs as a writer and your aesthetics overall.
Right. Great. Well, when we come back, I want to ask you about who some of your influences have been. And I'm sure that's been important in describing your own aesthetic statement. And then, much to the delight of people at home, We'll actually have you read some poems.
Yes.
Emily Hughes is my guest here on Dr. Andy's Poetry on Technology Hour, and we're talking about poetry. She's a graduate student in the creative writing program at the University of California at Davis. Also, stick around, because Amy Simonson is here. That's how you pronounce your last name, isn't it, Amy? Amy Simonson is here, and she's going to tell us about the Telemark Dance Troupe and some opportunities for you to interact with the world of dance here in Davis. All part of this week's edition of Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour. Listening to KDVS 90.3 FM in Davis, your campus and community radio station. If you want to find out about all the good work that we do, not only our public affairs programs, but the music that you can hear around the clock on KDVS, then point your browser at kdvs.org. My name is Andy Jones, and this is Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour. This is a weekly radio show where I get to talk to creative and interesting people about the projects that they're working on. One such example is Emily Hughes. She's a California-based poet, living in Davis now and working on her second year of a two-year program in creative writing. Before the break, Emily, we were talking about some of your influences and favorite poets. What sort of names come to mind when you think about poets that who have been important to you?
Well, I'm a poet who reads a lot, and I try to read widely and pretty much as I can. I'm sort of hungry for that. And one of my main influences over the years, and one of the poets who really influenced me to start writing, was Sylvia Plath. Mm-hmm. And I know some people shy away from her these days, but especially her early work, I really find is quite powerful and not necessarily confessional in the way that we look at some poetry these days.
Right.
And lately, as you know, Frank Bedard read a couple weeks ago,
yeah.
And that was a great reading, and I've been reading his poetry, and I've recently been reading some Ashbery, actually, mm-hmm. and some of his earlier work, which really interests me, and just the way he utilizes his lyric and the way he draws on the surreal, and there's sort of that tension of this reality and a surreal world. So that really interests me as well.
And for people at home who don't know John Ashbery's work, much of it, especially his middle and later period, many new readers to poetry and seasoned readers find it difficult, abstruse, surreal, in that it does not always depend heavily upon logic and continuity in the way that certainly we often expect fiction to do. And increasingly, there's some sort of logical thread that ties together many poems written in the last, forever. But I'd say that Ashbery takes liberties with that and focuses sometimes on surprise and the unexpected and the offbeat and the visual rather than on, say, the linear. And for that reason, a lot of people who are not English majors don't gravitate towards his poetry. Would you say any of this is a mischaracterization?
I'd say that some of that is true. I'm not actually a big fan of his later work.
Mm-hmm.
I'm more interested in his earlier work. I think The Double Dream of Spring and Self-Portrait in a Convex Mirror,
right.
I think is stronger than some of his later work, to be frank.
Sure.
I guess.
Well,
and I think it's important to have that self in a poem and that sort of the string of consciousness that you can follow,
right.
And something that you can ground. I mean, even if it is surreal or even if it is a little offbeat, there needs to be something that moves you, that you can sort of hold on to.
Absolutely.
And relate to in a poem.
Self-Portrait in a Convex Mirror, that was late 60s, early 70s, and it won, if I remember, the Pulitzer or the National Book Award. That was kind of the book that, like, launched him for
mm-hmm.
the larger poetry community.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, great. Well, this poem that you're about to share with us, it may have nothing to do with Ashbery's style whatsoever, but I still want to hear it. Which one would you like to share first?
I'm going to start out with a poem called Whitman.
Okay, great.
And which I'm also influenced by Walt Whitman. As I said, I try to read a lot of different styles and modes of writing, so.
Great, let's hear this one.
Whitman. My uncle, a high school English teacher, led me past Walt Whitman's house, past an unkept road and up a vine-shaded hill. This is the highest point on Long Island. I bet he stood here once, he said, looking north towards the water. There were so many bugs, mostly cicadas, and my clothes stuck to my breasts and thighs in the humidity. I wasn't thinking of him or where he walked, just the uninhabitable, shared, persisting.
That's great. I like that. You just heard a poem from Emily Hughes. She is a California-based poet who is in the studios of 14 Lower Freeborn, home of Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour. We're going to take a quick break and hear a public service announcement from the Linux Users Group of Davis. When we return, we're going to hear from Amy Simonson, who's going to tell us about some upcoming events in the world of dance that may interest you. And then more poetry with Emily Hughes. This is Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour. Stick around.
The Linux Users Group of Davis, or LUGOD, is a nonprofit organization dedicated to promoting the Linux computer operating system and other open source products as an alternative to expensive, proprietary, and monopolistic software. LUGOD meets in Davis on the first Tuesday and third Monday of each month. For more information, visit LUGOD's website at lugod.org or contact Bill Kendrick at 530-759-1019. Or via email at root@lugod.org. Thank you.
Welcome back, everyone, to Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour. Hope you're enjoying this piano jazz. This is the music of Jelly Roll Morton and James P. Johnson, a CD called Jelly and James. It's arranged and performed by Dick Hyman, featuring Phil Bodner, Milt Hinton, Joe Venuti, and Panama Francis. I did not know that Panama was a name that I could choose from when I was naming my kids. I'm happy with the names we ended up with. Kate came up with Truman's middle name. I'm mentioning this to both of you because you both have heard me speak of Truman, which is Banjo. Isn't that cool? Truman Banjo. So one of the many ingenious inventions of my wife, Kate, whose birthday it is today. Hello, sweetheart. See you in 41 minutes. You're listening to Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour, and here in the studio, I have Amy Simonson. She is representing today the Telemark Dance Troupe, and I invited her here to plug an upcoming event or two. Amy Simonson, welcome to Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour.
Hi, Dr. Andy. Thanks for having me today.
Absolutely. So what is the Telemark Dance Troupe?
Telemark Dance Troupe is a ballroom dance club that's been around for about 15 years. We just like to bring together people who love dance and give them an opportunity to perform that they might not get a chance to. We're a group of students and non-students, and every year we have a show in the spring at the Wyatt Main Stage Theater. And this weekend, we are having our first recruitment event.
So what when you're recruiting people, are you recruiting people with prior ballroom dancing experience? Or could any kind of clumsy person come in off the street and participate?
We'll take anyone who is... who enjoys dancing or who just wants to learn how to dance. You don't need any dance experience at all. You don't need a dance partner. You just need to come with a willingness to learn and some enthusiasm.
That's great. Where do these events take place? And if people are gearing up for a spring dance-a-thon, I'll call it, they probably need a regular place to practice. Is it called rehearsal when you're practicing a dance, or it's called something else?
Rehearsal.
Okay. Where do people rehearse?
So we have different dances. They're either student choreographed, or we actually have a few professional choreographers from the Davis area.
Great.
So depending on which dances you want to do, there's rehearsals either on campus or at Barbara's Dancing Tonight, which is on the corner of Covell and Sycamore in North Davis.
Okay.
But this weekend at our new member workshop, we're just going to have a free merengue lesson in the ARC Dance Studio from 4 to 6 p.m. And there we'll tell you about all the dances we're thinking about doing this year, and you can learn a little bit about each one and when practices will be and stuff about our troupe.
That's great. We've got lots of listeners in the larger Sacramento community and on online via kdbs.org. So why don't you tell people what the ARC is and how they might find it. And what time is that this Saturday?
It's this Saturday from 4 to 6 p.m. In the ARC Dance Studio. And the ARC is the Activities and Recreation Center on the UC Davis campus. It is located off of LaRue Road in Davis.
Off of LaRue, near 5th, sometimes called Russell. If you Google ARC, A-R-C, at UC Davis, you will certainly find it. So a two-hour free merengue lesson this coming Saturday from 4 to 6. And good. So, you know, write that down, folks. And tell me about your own interest in dance. How did you come to be associated with this group? And did you have – you must have had some practice before you joined Telemark.
My mom always tells me that I started to dance before I actually started to walk.
Yeah.
So once I started preschool, she kind of pushed me into ballet lessons. And I did ballet from then until I graduated from high school. And then when I came here, I was kind of disappointed because I didn't have any more dance to do. And when I found Telemark Dance Troupe, I was really excited to give myself another performance opportunity and to be with people who also love to dance.
Excellent. And you've got a performance coming up in the spring.
Mm-hmm.
Do we know when and where that is yet?
It's the week of May 17th. I believe it's the May 19th or 20th, 21st, and 22nd.
Okay.
So third week of May.
Third week of May.
Mm-hmm.
And do we know where, or should we just keep our eyes open?
It'll be at the main stage Wyatt Theater.
At the Wyatt Theater. Great. And do you all have a website?
We do. Our website is at freewebs.com/telemarkdance, which is TELEMARKDANCE.
Great. Well, Amy Simonson, thanks very much. And once again, it's this coming Saturday from 4 to 6. At the Activities and Recreation Center on the UC Davis campus for that free merengue lesson.
Thanks, Dr. Annie.
Thank you. You're listening to KDBS 90.3 FM in Davis. We'll be back in a moment with another poem by Emily Hughes. Also, we're going to be talking Macbeth in the second half of the show. Stick around for that. This is Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour. This is Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour. Back to the poetry. Emily Hughes is here. She's the poet who grew up north of Sonoma, who now lives in Davis, and is a graduate student in the creative writing program at the University of California at Davis. She's a poet who performed two Wednesdays ago at Poetry Night at Bistro 33. I mention that because there are two great poets who are going to be performing tonight at Bistro 33 at 9 o'clock, and you may want to attend. They are Melissa Stein, who graduated from the same creative writing program that Emily's in now, about, 14 years ago, maybe 13 years ago. Melissa Stein graduated from University of California at Davis. Now she's a successful and multi-award-winning poet who lives in San Francisco. She'll be reading with Ray Gourand. Ray has been on this show a couple times, and she is well known for not only her poetry, which is widely published, but also from her work as a teacher at the Davis Art Center, as well as in other places in and around Davis. The two of them will be performing tonight because they've both been chosen to appear in a new anthology called Best New Poets. 2009. That's tonight at Bistro 33, 226 F Street in the city of Davis, starting at 9 p.m. Okay, so Emily Hughes, I don't know whether we're going to see you again tonight at the open mic at Bistro 33's Poetry Night, but you've got an open mic in front of you and a poem before you. So tell me the title of this poem.
And this poem is called The Sea Is Not Silent.
All right, great. Do you want to say anything about it before you start reading?
And I actually wrote this poem in Berkeley, so you can keep that in mind.
All right.
When you hear it.
I'll listen for that.
The sea is not silent. Pillared lines fade into view. My body faces the center of the Golden Gate, and in all probability, another person. Here the fall is gentle, down a slope dotted with lavender bushes and geraniums and eased by wooden wind chimes on nearby porches. None of these things interest me. I'm interested in the carrying sea. This sea carries some voices and drops others. It offers to carry mine. How to answer? I do not. I am a child opened.
That's wonderful.
Thank you.
Those are poems by Emily Hughes, and she is a graduate student at the University of California, Davis, in the creative writing program. Now, Emily, have you started thinking yet about sending poems off to be considered by publications? And are you daunted by that? Are you looking forward to that? What are your thoughts about publishing small journals and all of that?
Well, a couple years ago, I had a couple things published. It was just a really small thing. And right now, I've really been focusing on my writing. And I'll probably look into that after my thesis is done, because I really want to try and get a cohesive, strong collection of poems.
Right.
And, you know, I'll just see how it goes after that and after I graduate. So, I mean, I'm a little hesitant right now, just because I know the first book is really important
right.
for poets. And, you know, I'm not adverse or I don't object to that if people do that. But for me, I know that I would be distracted if I was sending out a bunch of stuff right now as I'm writing. So
you're focusing on what's most important to you
yes.
as a writer, as a poet, and that is writing great poetry.
Yes, I hope so.
Yeah, definitely. Well, we're going to finish this conversation in the last 10 minutes of the show, but I hope that you will stick around and overhear my chat now with some folks who are representing the upcoming production of Macbeth here on the UC Davis campus.
Yes, I will, Andrew.
it wasn't really a question. It was just a comment. But, okay, great. Well, Emily Hughes.
Yeah, I'll be back, so.
Excellent.
Yes, towards the end.
I'll say to everyone else that you're listening to Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour on KDBS. And now let's hear from Ricardo Montalban. Stick around.
There are many ways to measure success. For the Shriners, it's the nearly 700,000 children with orthopedic and burn problems that they've helped. This is Ricardo Montalban. For over 80 years, the Shriners have provided state-of-the-art medical care to kids all over North America, totally free of charge. There is a Shriners Hospital helping kids from this area. If you know a child that the Shriners might be able to help, call 1-800-237-5055. Shriners, giving help and hope to kids for over 80 years. Thank you.
Welcome back, everyone, to Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour on KDVS 90.3 FM in Davis. Regular listeners to this show know that throughout the school year, I try to feature actors, actresses, directors, production designers, costumers, people from the world of theater several times a year. And so you can imagine how pleased I am to have down here in the studio Stephanie Hankinson and Gia Battista. They are the co-directors of an upcoming production of Macbeth that you may want to see. And they are here to further woo you in that direction. Stephanie and Gia, welcome back to Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour. Stephanie, you want to say hi first?
Yeah, hi. Thanks for having us.
Absolutely. Hello, Gia.
Hi. It's great to be back.
Great to have you both here. So tell me first, before we get to Macbeth, tell me about Studio 301. What is Studio 301?
Well, Stephanie. Studio 301.
Excuse me. Go on.
Studio 301 Productions is a completely student-run production company on campus. It's the only production company that is not affiliated with a specific department. And it's run by undergraduates, but it welcomes alumni, staff, faculty, graduate students, and everyone to come and participate. And we fund and produce all our own shows here on the UCD campus.
That's great. Now, when you say you welcome all those different sorts of people, do you have exclusively undergraduates in the current production?
You
Who do you
we
have?
Don't. We have alumni, and we have graduate students as well. We don't have any staff or faculty, but we're hoping for the next show that some will turn out.
Excellent. Good. So Hamlet is a great play. It's one of those plays you're doing Macbeth. Macbeth is a great play. Hamlet's also great. But I was going to say about Macbeth that it is it's that play that you're not supposed to say if you are superstitious.
That's true.
And do you all know this story? I'm sure you can tell the story better than I can.
You want to tell it?
The particular? You can tell it.
They're fighting over who gets to tell this story.
But
I did not tell them. would be on the menu of discussion items.
I mean, you know, what I've heard is that if you say the name of the show, the name of the title character, Macbeth, in a production space that you're not working in, or not during the actual text of the play, like
right.
a rehearsal or before the show starts, that it's bad luck for the show and usually ends up with injured actors
bad
or sets
happen.
That bad things happen, basically.
And so people give you the evil eye if you say Macbeth.
But actually, I've had people, I know of a few people actually that have gotten kicked out of a theater either by a peer or someone, and they've been made to, they spin around and they have to spit.
Yeah, they have to spit. Or
and like to go outside, spin around, spit,
like
and
to
say
get rid
it
of the bad luck.
Again. Yeah, it's, you know, to wash them up there.
Right. So it's the sort of thing. So in The Adventures of Huckleberry Finn, Huck Finn at one point had to spin a dead cat around his head in a graveyard. So, you know, it's a little bit like that.
Yeah, that kind
makes
of
just as much sense.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, good. who chose Macbeth and why Macbeth? Gia?
Well, I'd say we both kind of chose it, but it was actually completely inspired by Steph and I one day deciding to go walk around the Death Star for 2 hours. And we
and tell folks what the Death Star is.
And it's the College of Letters and Sciences.
Yeah, it's a social science.
Social
science.
Humanities.
Right.
And we were actually snooping around the history department, and we found this space, and it was actually on the third floor. And we were looking up at it, and the way that the stair tower goes, and, you know, it's just everything is so symmetrical and straight and concrete, and it's just such an interesting building. Everybody knows. It's incredible. So we're hanging out around there and kind of trying to get ideas for what show we would do, and we wanted to do a Shakespeare, and all we kept saying was, this looks like a castle. This looks like a modern-day mm-hmm. castle, and
right.
we have to play in this castle. Mm-hmm. And what show can we do that best has a castle? And Macbeth came into our heads, and we went with that. And I think it's been the most fun.
Really. Excellent.
Yeah, we've made a sort of switch, I think, in the last couple of months with Studio 301, and we did last spring, we did A Midsummer Night's Dream in the Arboretum, and So we're really into this idea of doing outdoor productions in found theater spaces and just really creating something that you can't find anywhere else, I think. So
that's great. If you're just joining us, I'm chatting this afternoon with Stephanie Hankinson and Gia Battista. They are the co-directors of an upcoming production of Macbeth. And while I have you all here and I'm thinking of it, tell us the details. When does the show start? Where do we go to see it? How do we participate as playgoers?
Yeah, well, the show opens next Wednesday, which is November 11th.
Right.
And it runs through that Sunday. And then it opens again, begins again the following Wednesday, which I believe is the
18th,
and runs through the 22nd. So you have, 10 chances to see the show? It's at 8 o'clock every night, except for the Sunday shows are at 6 p.m. And the way that you go about it is you can either show up and just come see the show that night, or you can make reservations online, which I would definitely recommend to reserve a seat, and that ensures that you'll get in to see the show. And so you can do that online. The email address you need to send for that is macbethreservations09@gmail.com. And so they can include the information of the show date they'd like to see and how many people, and we'll send them a confirmation. And the show, again, takes place in the Social Sciences and Humanities Courtyard, which is right across from the MU ATMs, Memorial Union ATMs.
Right.
Near A Street, so
and
we'll
it's
have
all outside. So we highly recommend that theater goers bring coats, pillows, blankets, anything that keeps you warm and cozy, or just a loved one that you can snuggle with.
Exactly.
The scary part.
absolutely. And for those of you who are not coming from campus, I'll remind you that the Social Sciences and Humanities Building is at 3rd and A Streets, and you're welcome to park downtown Davis and then stroll right over to A Street. When you see a really large building that looks somewhat like a castle, somewhat like the Sierras, some people have said, keep walking around until you see a crowd and then... You know, sit where you're told. Speaking of seating, we can reserve seats, but are they reserved seats, or is it general admission once we show up?
It's general admission once you show up. So even if you reserve a seat, we recommend definitely showing up at least 15 minutes early. The way we do it is we have two lines, one for reserved seats, and those folks enter first, and then they're given the pick of seats, and then we let the people that have no reservations in. So we definitely recommend them showing up.
Yeah, absolutely. And you mentioned that you've got 10 iterations of Macbeth coming up. Good thing that it's one of Shakespeare's shorter plays.
Yeah.
So that you don't exhaust your actors.
Oh, no.
Are either of you appearing in the production as well as directing?
No.
No. No, we're just behind the scenes this time.
And... how did the auditions go? Did you get enough initial interest? Did you worry that you all would have to step in and be witches or something?
we were pretty happy about the turnout for auditions. We actually had a really good turnout. We had we really flyed around campus to post, you know, auditions for Macbeth, and we really tried to get the word out there, and we were really happy with the turnout.
Excellent. And who's playing the title character for you?
Kevin Ganger.
And tell me something about Kevin.
Kevin is an alumni. He graduated last year.
Yeah, last spring.
Yeah, last spring.
From the theater department.
Theater department. Yeah, he's great.
Excellent. And if we've seen every production that Theater and Dance has done over the last 2 years, would we have seen him?
Yes, you would have seen him several times. And I was actually in a few shows. We both were in a few shows with him.
What would be a couple examples?
The
if you
last
wanted.
One was Oklahoma.
Uh-huh.
Then he was in A Winter's Tale.
Mm-hmm.
And then he was in Knights at the Circus.
Mm-hmm.
Then he was in Third Eye Production. Was he in something?
Measure for Measure.
Measure for Measure. Duh. Yes.
Yeah, Kevin has a long list of UCD shows under his belt.
Definitely.
Yeah, for Shakespeare fans, the last thing they would have seen him do that was in the department was Polixenes in The Winter's Tale.
Right. And, gee, I know I've seen you in at least 3 of those productions as well, right?
Yes.
So you've had a chance to work with him as a peer, and now you get to order him around.
Yes, sir.
All right.
Great.
Well, we're going to take a quick break, and then when we return, I'll ask Stephanie and Gia to tell us one more time about the best way to get tickets to see Macbeth, which is coming up a week from tonight, and then starting up again 2 weeks from tonight here on the UC Davis campus. You're listening to Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour. This is Dr. Andy with the important news that you can now recycle your television set or computer monitor at the Yolo County Central Landfill for free. For more information about the Electronic Waste Recycling Act, visit www.erecycle.org. This is Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour, and we are talking Macbeth, Shakespeare's shortest tragedy. It will be available to be seen by you starting a week from this evening. And Gia Battista and Stephanie Hankinson are here. They are the co-directors of this production. So some people are wondering if they can take their kids to this production. As is the case with lots of Shakespeare's tragedies, there's some... There'll be some blood, won't there?
There will be blood. Yeah. Blood will have blood.
There will be blood.
Yeah. So people should be advised.
Yes, I'd say if we had to give it a rating, like for a movie rating, it's probably PG-13.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, there's love and then there's death and, you know, we don't take it lightly.
Right.
There's definitely swords.
I think there's, what, seven sword fights?
Seven sword fights? Yeah.
Yeah, we've got a great fight choreographer that's been working really, really hard. I would definitely say if you're even interested in fight choreography, come check it out. Mm-hmm. It's great work. We're really happy with Gabe.
Excellent. Wonderful. And tell us again, Stephanie, the dates, how we get tickets, and what to do next if we're interested.
Yeah, the show dates, it opens, as you said, next Wednesday on November 11th, and it runs through that Sunday, and then it starts up again that following Wednesday, which is the 18th, and finishes on the 22nd. So all shows are at 8 p.m., except for the Sunday shows, which are at 6 p.m., and the way you can get tickets is either you can show up at the door right before the show starts, or you can email macbethreservations09@gmail.com and give them the information, just how many tickets you want to what show, and then you'll have reserved seats. But you still have to show up at the space a little early because we let the reserved seating in to pick first.
Right.
Yeah.
That makes sense. And if someone was driving down I-80 at a high rate of speed and didn't want to write all that down,
sure.
Where is there a website somewhere where you can encounter this information?
Yeah, it's all on the Studio 301 website, which is studio301productions@googlepages.com.
Excellent. Studio301productions@googlepages.com. Well, Stephanie Hankinson, Gia Battista, thanks very much for telling us about Macbeth. And I look forward to seeing you one cold evening starting a week from tonight.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, thank you.
Absolutely. Well, folks, stick around because Emily Hughes is still here, and we're going to hear a little bit more of her poetry here on Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour. I wanted to remind you that you should keep your dial right here on 90.3 because in about 8 minutes, DJ Springy will spring into the studio. His show is called Things That Got Away. No, Time to Get Away. And Time to Get Away, starring DJ Springy, will amuse, delight, and intrigue you starting at 6 o'clock and lasting until 8. Emily Hughes is my guest here in the studio. We're talking about her work as a poet, and she's going to share another poem with us in a moment. But first, Emily, tell me about some of the poets that you're working with here at UC Davis. Who's directing your thesis?
Joe Wenderoth is my director of my committee, and I'm also a big fan of his work.
Me too.
As well. And right now he's working on Agony, a proposal, which will be coming out soon, I hope, and I've seen some of the revisions, and they look really exciting.
That's great.
So, and then also I work with Alan Williamson. I'm also a fan of his work. He worked with Robert Lowell.
Right.
So that's really exciting to kind of feel like I'm part of that, and I'm really feel lucky to work with Alan since he'll be retiring soon.
Yeah. He's the only person that you and I have met who has... Well, let me rephrase that. He's the only living person who you and I have met who has also met T.S. Eliot.
Yes.
Yeah.
And he was on that picture. He was on T.S. Eliot's knee, right?
Right. So, and Alan is a wonderful poet. And folks at home, if you don't know Alan Williamson's work, I encourage you to check it out. One of my favorite books of his is called Res Publica, and a very talented poet, also important to me in my poetic evolution as a writer and as a scholar.
And have you checked out The Pattern More Complicated? It's
yes.
the new selected poems, and has some of those newer poems as well. So that's a great book.
Yeah,
I highly
absolutely.
Recommend that one.
All right, good. So you're working with Alan and with Joe. And for potential English majors listening, who's another professor here at UC Davis who's been helpful to you, either in creative writing or in your work as an English major and budding scholar?
Well, actually, the professor who's also on my committee, Jeff Fort, uh-huh. Who's with the French department, and he also teaches French Lit and Translation,
uh-huh.
Which I think English majors can take, and it's a really great class. He's very smart and knows what he's talking about, and he's younger, and he's just a great professor to work with, and I took a Beckett class with him, a graduate course.
Yeah, I remember when you were taking that.
So. Yeah, and I really just fell in love with Beckett. I already liked Beckett, but I'm just reading so much of Beckett right now, I can't get enough of it. So
right. Good, good for you. Well, speaking of reading, do you have another poem to read there?
Yes. Let's see, I've just been choosing which one to read, so.
What's this one called?
It's called Of All the Edges I've Known. of all the edges I've known, I carry the color away, away to torn myelin. I've gone along this edge, and the lines all file in a row, file in a row. And now, how happy the lines seem to dance without color. How happy they pretend. I'm still young, but I've filed through.
That's great. Tell me again the title of that one.
Of All the Edges I've Known.
And that was a poem by Emily Hughes. Emily, I noticed that many of the poems that you've been sharing today are shorter rather than longer. I think we were talking about Joe Wenderoth before, and he's famous for what he can do in just a few lines, even fewer lines than some of the poems that you've been sharing. Is that a pattern that holds true throughout what will be your thesis? And to what extent have you worked with poems that have lasted longer than the page?
I have a couple poems that are longer. I have one poem that's about 2 pages, and I have a couple poems that are 2 or 3 lines, and it just depends, I think, on what I'm writing about, and I try to vary it, and I'm interested in trying to write in sections, mm-hmm. too, and doing long poems that way. Louise Glick, her book Averno, she does that a little bit with the sections. So I'm trying to be versatile right. in that way.
Excellent. Good for you.
Trying to.
Well, I've really enjoyed the work that you've shared this far, and want to thank you very much for coming on the program. It's been a pleasure to hear your verse and talk about some of your influences and plans.
Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. And I'll remind you that Emily Hughes has been my guest. She is a California-based poet who's begun her second year in the Graduate Creative Writing Program at the University of California at Davis. She's working on a thesis. Do you have a title for the thesis, Emily?
Not yet.
Yet to be titled thesis. And when she finishes that up, I'll ask her to return to the program. We also heard earlier from Stephanie Hankinson and Gia Battista. They would love it, I'm sure, if you were to purchase a ticket to the Studio 301 Productions event, a presentation of Macbeth. Emily and I were just talking about how we have a mutual friend in the studio playing a witch, and that the production values are quite impressive with this particular production of Macbeth. I'm looking forward to seeing it, perhaps with my daughter, Geneva, even though she's going to turn 12 on Saturday, and it's a PG-13 play. We also heard from Amy Simonson earlier, representing the Telemark Dance Troupe. If you want to find out more, then Google Telemark Dance Troupe at UC Davis. I'd like to remind you all as well that tonight at 9 o'clock, two poets, Melissa Stein and Ray Garand, who have been chosen to appear in a new anthology of poetry called Best New Poets 2009. They are both Northern California poets, both poets I know, but neither one of them was known by name to Kim Adonisio, the judge of that particular book and poetry contest. Kim herself was surprised to know that two of the poets who appeared in her anthology lived not far away. For it was a double-blind study, as the best one of these books usually are. Melissa Stein and Ray Garand are very talented poets. They'll be reading tonight at Bistro 33 at 226 F Street, beginning at 9 o'clock, as part of Bistro 33's poetry series called Poetry Night at Bistro 33, every first and third Wednesday. On the third Wednesday of November, Pam Houston, who's one of the great fiction writers in the creative writing program that we were lauding earlier, she will be the featured performer at Bistro 33. So if you wish to, you can mark that on your calendar. My name is Dr. Andy. I appreciate you sticking around for the full hour of this program. Stick around for DJ Springy, who's going to spring in here with Time to Get Away. From KDVS 90.3 FM in Davis, thanks very much to listening to another edition of Dr. Andy's Poetry.